where I haven't needed a mic, or they haven't used a mic. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, church, it's a blessing to have the church family that we have. I get the opportunity, as a couple others here in this church, get the opportunity to go from other churches and preach the Word of God. And I'm telling you, we are a blessed church. A lot of churches out there are hurting right now. And they are needing prayer big time. And I pray that we never get too prideful of where we are here. But I pray that God continues to bless us here like He already has and like He's going to. But that's besides the fact that I'm here tonight. I'm here going to just talk about a little subject that God has laid on my heart. And I know that we have studied in Acts chapter, or in the book of Acts, for a while now. But I'm going to go back to Acts tonight, and I'm going to go to the very beginning of Acts, in Acts chapter number 1. And this morning we heard that it's not over. And Brother BJ brought the word this morning, and man, that was just good to hear that it's not over, that we all have another plan, that God has a plan for each and every one of us to keep us going and to continue in our lives. And I want to look at a thing tonight that, or a little subject tonight, that after you realize that it's not over, I want you to realize that there's some things that are given to you. Once you realize that it's not over, there are some gifts from the Holy Ghost. And that is going to be the title of my sermon tonight, and the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And it's going to be in Acts chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1. If you found your place, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. In Acts chapter number 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Let's go, Lord, in prayer this afternoon. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, I come to you now just to thank you for another opportunity to come into your house and worship you. Lord God, how sweet it is to know that it's not over. Lord God, I thank you this afternoon that even though it's not over, Lord God, you're going to give us some gifts to help us on our coming days as we journey on. Lord God, I thank you for being the rock that we can stand upon. Lord God, there is no loose foot, and when we stand at the foot of the cross, Lord God, we find strength in the foot of the cross. Lord God, and I thank you for that. Lord God, I thank you that blood that you shed on Calvary's Hill saved an old sinner like me. Lord God, and I thank you for each and every person that's in the house tonight. Lord God, if there's something tonight that they are needing, Lord God, I pray that you show them that you have it. Lord God, if you don't have it, nobody has it. Lord God, and I pray right now that we just be found faithful in what you have us to do. Lord God, I pray that you just take this text and apply it to our lives as we need it. Lord God, and I pray that if there's something that I say tonight that don't need to be said, I pray you remove it. Lord God, and I pray that you just allow me to remember everything that you have me to study. Lord God, I love you and I thank you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Like I said, I'm going to be brief. Tonight I don't really want to preach. I just want to kind of do like a study lesson and go through what God showed me through the text. And you see the text that we read tonight in Acts 1, 1 through 9, it shows us that there are three gifts that the Holy Ghost gives us. If you read the text, it says that the Holy Ghost had given out commandments. Something that I grew up understanding was that when God, or when my daddy and them would give me a commandment, such as make A's and B's on this report card, and I'd done it, and I actually had A's and B's. I got a gift. So what I want to look at tonight is, even though the Holy Ghost gave commandments, he's also given gifts. But the gifts, the good thing about them, they are free to anyone who wants them. And I want you to think on tonight, I want you to question yourself and see if you have these gifts in your life. The first gift I want to look at tonight that we see in the text is found in verse 3, and it is the gift of passion. And the Bible says in verse 3, it says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." The first thing I want to look at is the gift of passion, and the Holy Ghost instills a drive in each and every one of us to do his will. You know, the first thing I want to look at about the gift of passion is that he'll give you the passion to go and tell others about him. He'll give you the passion to go, get up in front of a group of people that believe in him, and he'll give you that passion to stand up there and preach and teach. And I'm thankful for that. If you had told me 10 years ago that I'd been standing up here preaching the Word of God, I'd have laughed. I have always struggled with getting words out, and you can probably tell it when I go to talk. I kind of mumble, and I just can't get words out half the time. But I was never a big public speaker, but that's just who God is. God will use the people that we don't really envision for him to use. He uses them 9 out of 10 times, and he'll actually turn them people that we don't think he should use into somebody great for his kingdom. I always think back about Paul, or Saul, before he come Paul. I always think about that. I think about how he went from killing Christians and persecuting them, and God said, "I'm going to save this old boy, and I'm going to use him." And he turned him into the Apostle Paul, and Paul has a wonderful testimony throughout the Word of God. And I'm just thankful that God uses people the same way he uses Paul. But he uses the gift of passion to help us to tell, and he also uses that gift of passion to help us to try to be more Christ-like. Once he instills that gift of passion in your life, the Holy Ghost instills it in your life, it helps you become more able to do what he wants you to do. It allows you to move more like he does. He'll use that gift of passion. He'll give you that heart, or that he'll set your heart to what he wants you to have it on. And I'm thankful that God will, he can reach the heart of man, because Lord knows I'd make a mess of it. But not only does he give us the gift of passion to tell and to try, but he also gives us the passion to tarry. And when I say to tarry, that means to stay still. And here I oftentimes think about when Lazarus died. When Lazarus died, Jesus had to tarry still in the same spot for a couple of days. He knew that it hurt him that his best friend had died. But he still was called to tarry still 2 days in the same place. That way his miracle would be more miraculous. He gives us that gift of passion to tarry. And it takes passion in the Holy Ghost to tarry still. It takes passion just to tarry in the Holy Ghost at all. The world we live in nowadays, each and every one of you know, it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get pulled to the side and realize that we may not be found where we need to be. It's easy to get pulled into them dilemmas, into them problems, in them places. But as long as we tarry still in the Holy Ghost, we have nothing to worry about. But not only does he give us the gift of passion, but tonight he gives us the gift of power. If you look with me in verse 8, the Bible tells us, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." You see, he gives us the gift of power. Because without his power, I'm weak. You're weak. We're all weak. Without God giving us his power, we're weak. And something that's so crazy about God's power is that he gives us the power to get up and go and tell others, but he also will grant you the power to be used for him. Like I said earlier, I never would have envisioned myself to be a preacher. I would have thought that I'd be up here speaking in front of people. And I still struggle with it a lot of times. But, you know, he gives you that power. And some of the things that he gives us through that power is he gives us the power through prayer. You know, I've seen many a times where somebody's come in here needing prayer inside of our church. And I'm partial to Union Chapel because of what God's done for me through this place. there's a sweet spirit here at Union Chapel that you don't get everywhere. And every time I come in here, it's just a rejuvenation of it. It's so easy to be yourself in here. There's nothing that you can do that will turn people's eyes towards you or cut them away from you. You're not going to be judged or anything in here, and I'm thankful for that. But back to what I'm going to is through the power of prayer. You know, the mountains that's in your life, if you pray about them, God will move them. I've seen that many times. I've seen many miracles performed in this church. Brother Eric's one of them. I've seen Brother Chris Rawls. I've seen so many, just countless numbers of miracles. I've seen Baby Landry. I mean, I've seen miracles after miracles. And knowing that my God has the power to do that makes everything worthwhile. Satan can throw what he wants to at me because I know who's got the power. Satan can sit there and tell you that he's got power, but he has nothing. His battery's about dead. And all he can give you is just a little short burst. But it ain't going to be nothing compared to what God can give you. But he gives us the gift of power through prayer. And he also gives us the power, or the gift of power through a presence of mind. A lot of times, flesh is easy to fail. A lot of times when we're out in the public and things might not go our way, we can tend to soul up. I get tickled at Natalie because if me and her get into any kind of argument, she souls up. And then she sits there and just pouts. And she will not tell me what I done or what I said that made her mad. And most of the time I know what I done. I just like to get it out of her. And she just refuses to do it. And you see, a lot of the time she'll sit there and she'll just say, I'm not talking to you about it. I'm just not going to talk about it. It's better to leave it alone. She has to have that presence of mind and an easement of mind before she'll even open back up. And another thing about that presence of mind that God will give you. When I lost my papa in November, it was tough, and it still is tough. And I know everybody's tired of me talking about it, but it's not a day that goes by that I don't think about it. But I had to have a presence of mind, and I asked God, I said, God, if you're going to take papa home, just take him and get it out of the way. I said, I don't want to see him suffer. And about 2 days before he passed away, God gave me the opportunity to see Papa in a dream. And Papa come to me and said, don't worry about me. He said, I'm going to be with my Father in heaven and I'm going to be okay. And just knowing that, it gave me a peace of mind. And once I got that peace of mind, I knew that the end was drawing near for Papa. But it didn't matter because the flesh here is going to fail and our flesh here has got to die. But the Father ain't going to let you just go away to nothing. He's going to give you an opportunity to get out. And he's going to make sure that you're okay. But not only does he give us the gift of power through prayer and through the presence of mind, but he gives us the power through our paths. And what I want to look at here and what I mean by that is through our journeys that we walk each and every day, he gives us power. He gives us the power to sit there and turn back and rebuke things that come against us. He gives us the power to rebuke Satan, and that's really what I want to look at tonight is that he gives us that power to rebuke Satan. A lot of times Satan will get on me, and just like he does you, I'm sure. And he'll get on me and he'll try to whoop me from one side to the other. And all I have to remind him of is that I'm a blood-bought, born-again believer of Jesus Christ, and he has to flee. He cannot stay. We hear BJ talk about it all the time. We even heard him speak on it this morning about that bloodline. He can't go no farther than the bloodline. And I'm thankful for that. He gives us the power through that bloodline to rebuke Satan. But not only does he give us a gift of passion, and not only does he give us a gift of power, but the last thing I want to look at tonight is the gift of promise. If you look with me in verse 4, the Bible tells us that, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. The Holy Ghost always keeps his promises. He always keeps his promises. He's never made me a promise that he ain't kept. Jesus has never made me a promise that he hasn't kept. And I know for a fact that I can rest in that. But, you know, he's been so good to me. And he gives us a couple of promises that I want to look at. He gives us a promise to preside is the first one. If you turn with me, or you ain't got to turn, but if they'll throw Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Brother Brent just quoted it a minute ago. And I'm thankful that God allowed Brother Brent to do that, because I've struggled all week in knowing what to bring. And Brother Brent hit it on the head a minute ago. And he quoted a part of this verse. But the gift of promise, and he promises us that he's going to preside over our life. And if you look in Deuteronomy 31:6, the Bible says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor will he forsake thee." And I'm thankful that he presides over our life, and he takes up residence, and he's the one that controls what we do from day to day. I'm thankful that my Jesus could sit down on me and say, "Hey, this is what I want you to do today. You may endure some other things with it, but as long as you just trust in me, I'll get you through it." And I'm thankful that he does that for me. But not only does he give us the promise that he's going to preside over our life, but he's also going to give us a gift of promise that prolongs our life. And what I mean by that is that he's going to make sure our future is safe. In Jeremiah 29:11, the Bible tells us that, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I'm thankful that he gives me, or he makes sure that my future is safe. He knows everything that I'm going to face throughout the coming days. He knows everything that I'm going to do throughout the coming days. He knows the ins and outs, and I'm so thankful for that. He knew that everything that I've been through, he already knew it. And there's not one thing that we go through that he don't already know about. He's going to take you and he's going to put you to the test sometimes, but he's never going to leave you and he ain't going to forsake you. We just read that. So knowing that he's going to put you to the test is kind of a blessing in a way. Just knowing that he's going to test you to an extent. Because who doesn't enjoy a good test? I always hated them in school because they'd always come at the wrong times. I never studied for them, even if I knew that they was coming. But I do like a good test, especially at work. But not only does he give us the gift of promise to preside over our life and to prolong our future, but he also gives us the promise to provide for our life. And man, if I could sit here and take 30 minutes, I could tell you what all he's done for me in my life. And it wouldn't be enough. I could never credit him with enough of what he's done for me and where he's brought me from and where he's carrying me to. I could never fathom how to even start to explain it. But in Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 19, the Bible tells us, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Just to know that he's going to provide anything that we need, that he's going to supply it, that order to make anything that we have to do throughout our Christian walk worth it all. To know that there is no unknown, and to know that he's going to take care of it all, that makes everything worth it. I'm so thankful that my God provides for me. But tonight, I hope I ain't made much of a mess. I'm going to close out, but we got to be bold with our gifts. The Holy Ghost is there to make sure we uphold our end as a Christian. He's not an enemy. He's a friend. He's going to take care of you, and he's going to just be there to be make sure that you've got a friend at all times. He's always going to be in your corner. And I pray that if you don't have these gifts, I pray that you find them. I pray that you find them somehow, because I can't tell you how much they mean to me. Just to have a gift of passion and a gift of power and a gift of promise, it means the world to me, knowing that a man who thought so much of me went to a cross and died on a hill called Calvary and bled and died on that cross at Calvary just to do what he said he'd done or was going to do, just to be buried in a tomb, lay there for 3 days and rise again, and now is seated at the right hand of the Father. Just to know that he cares that much about me, it makes everything that I go through as a Christian so much more worth it. Let us pray tonight. Lord God in heaven, I come to you now. Lord God, I thank you for another opportunity to just come in here and worship you. Lord God, I pray right now that I didn't make a mistake of anything that I said tonight. Lord God, and I pray that if somebody out there is just wondering what they need to do and what these gifts really mean, Lord God, I pray that you allow them to see them in their lives. Lord God, I pray right now for the for the altar call. I pray that if there's someone out there that's struggling with anything, I pray that they come to you and ask you about it, Lord God, because I know that you are the solution. Lord God, you was the solution in this text here, and Lord God, you're our solution today. If this world would just turn to you, it'd make it all much more better. Lord God, and I pray that we as a world here in the United States and everywhere else just turn to you before it's entirely too late. Lord God, and I pray right now that if the lost man, woman, boy, or girl come into this place tonight, not know what the free pardon of sin is, Lord God, I pray that there's an opportunity tonight that I may or somebody else in here may share with them just exactly what it means. Lord God, I pray right now for our pastor as he's traveling. Lord God, I pray that you just give him a traveling grace. Lord God, and I pray right now for the services that's coming up in the next couple of weeks. Lord God, I pray that you just get honor and glory from everything that we do here at Union Chapel. Lord God, and I pray right now that when the lights are turned off, that everything that was done in your house was bringing honor and glory to you. It's in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.